This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
WHO in the crosshairs. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Wednesday, April 15. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump says the U.S. will stop funding the World Health Organization as his administration probes how the group handled the coronavirus outbreak.
The president is softening his tone on having total authority to reopen states' economies. You'll hear from a constitutional law expert.
Another sharp rise for the stock market, but some technical analysts say more pain is ahead.
And ways scammers will try to trick you into turning over your government stimulus check.
What they can do is they can call, posing as a member of your bank or your credit union or whatever financial institution, and they can say, hey, I'm here with your bank and I'm trying to process your stimulus check. We just need some extra information from you just to push it along and make sure you get your money.
Andy Keshner at MarketWatch on signs a cyber crook is trying to steal your stimulus check. President Trump says the U.S. will stop sending money to the World Health Organization while his administration looks into the group's handling of the coronavirus outbreak. The president faulted the WHO for failing to adequately investigate early information about the virus's ability to spread from one human to another and for not calling out China on its lack of transparency. However, in January, Mr. Trump on social media praised China's response, tweeting, "The United States greatly appreciates their efforts and transparency." Mr. Trump now says the coronavirus might have been contained in China if the WHO had acted more quickly. The president also alleged that the group resisted U.S. travel restrictions on China.
The WHO's attack on travel restrictions put political correctness above life-saving measures.
In 2020, the American share of the WHO budget will be just under $116 million, but the U.S. also can make larger voluntary contributions. For instance, in 2017, the U.S. made a voluntary contribution of $401 million. Governors across the country are asserting their authority to reopen their economies as President Trump appears to be walking back previous comments about having total authority to reopen the country. At his daily coronavirus briefing last evening, the president said he would soon speak with all 50 governors to discuss guidelines for reopening, and said he would defer to the state leaders. Monday, you might recall, he indicated he had the ultimate authority to decide when states could reopen, an apparent conflict with the states' rights provisions of the Constitution. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey.
On or before April the 28th, Dr. Harris and I will review these recommendations so that we can provide an updated plan of action before the current stay-at-home order expires on April 30th.
Meanwhile, Mr. Trump said some states would be able to open before the administration's voluntary social distancing guidelines expire at the end of April. The president pointed to 29 states that he said are in very, very good shape. Well, with regards to the president's comments Monday that he has total authority to make decisions about when to reopen states, who has that power, the president or the governors? Analysis now from constitutional law expert Dr. Frank Sorrentino, political science professor at St. Francis College in Brooklyn, New York. Frank, your take.
Well, this has been one of the more controversial aspects going back from the beginning of the Republic of where do presidential powers begin and end, and the conflict that exists not only with the Congress but with the courts. There's a whole theory that the Constitution is somewhat vague, but we have all of these commentaries by various political philosophers and political leaders that suggest that the executive power, commander-in-chief power, gives the president an enormous amount of power. There are on occasions where he is pushed back, but in most instances, That is not the case. The Supreme Court and the public has generally acquiesced to those claims of power.
Okay, so in some cases, I would imagine it's subject to interpretation as to what might be in the best interest of the country, no?
Well, that's exactly it, Gordon. This is the issue. The American Constitution talks about the executive power, whatever that means, to be clearly defined. Some people talk about a plenary executive power with one individual. But we have to go by the case law and the practice to determine where those powers begin and end. Let me give you just an example. The number one case that we always use is Lincoln during the Civil War. But there was no declaration of war, but Lincoln used his power as president and commander-in-chief to suspend the writ of habeas corpus, which is clearly in Article 1, given the powers to Congress. He created military courts. He blockaded the ports of the South, and he raised an army and a navy without any authorization from Congress. Congress subsequently authorized most of the actions that Lincoln had done.
We're speaking with Dr. Frank Sorrentino, constitutional law expert, also professor of political science at St. Francis College in Brooklyn, New York, talking about President Trump's claim of total authority over states when it comes to reopening the economies. Of course, the governors are arguing, hey, we put these measures in place in the first place. We should be the ones that should be able to unroll them when and how we say.
Yes, I mean, that's certainly a legitimate argument. The 10th Amendment of the Constitution basically grants those powers that are not delegated to the national government to the states and to the people. And we normally call these the police powers, which give them the power to regulate health, safety, welfare, and morals. So the states would have a claim to that power. The problem with both the presidential claim and the governor's claim is that there is a vagueness, an ambiguity, which would ultimately lead to a Supreme Court decision, because ultimately powers are not clearly defined. If the president claims it's a national emergency and that that will give him powers not only the National Emergency Act, but under the Commander-in-Chief clause, then that creates a case which will be determined. And presidential power has generally been defined by practice, by court decisions, and by the public reaction to them.
Thanks, Frank. Frank Sorrentino, political science professor at St. Francis College in Brooklyn. It is 14 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
I'm not a big talker. I am a big doer. But sometimes the only way to solve the problem is to get on the horn and figure it out. So the only people I like talking to? Grainger. With knowledgeable product experts, ready with the answers to my toughest questions, calling Grainger is the one conversation I don't mind having. From machining and motor parts to valves and vacuum pumps, when it comes to solving my problems, Grainger's got my back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Former President Barack Obama endorsed presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden, his former vice president. His backing comes after Mr. Biden became the party's presumptive nominee following a string of primary victories and the decision by Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders to suspend his campaign.
Choosing Joe to be my vice president was one of the best decisions I ever made, and he became a close friend. And I believe Joe has all the qualities we need in a president right now.
Meanwhile, Mr. Sanders told the Wall Street Journal he will use his campaign's live streaming platform and social media channels to promote Mr. Biden's presidential bid and help unify the Democratic Party. but he said he doesn't plan to fundraise on Mr. Biden's behalf. Instead, Mr. Sanders said he would use his database of supporters to solicit donations for progressive candidates down ballot. Mr. Sanders didn't rule out, though, eventually raising money for Mr. Biden or the Democratic Party. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Trump says he's halting U.S. payments to the World Health Organization pending a review of its warnings about the coronavirus and China. Trump says the outbreak could have been contained at its source and spared lives had the U.N. Health Agency done a better job investigating reports coming out of China. In response, U.N. Secretary General Antonio Guterres called the WHO absolutely critical to the global effort to combat the pandemic.
Number two.
After a month of draconian steps to minimize deaths and prevent hospital overload, governors now face a new challenge deciding when and how to begin easing restrictions. Oregon Governor Kate Brown.
We also need an effective quarantine and isolation program for people who test positive. It will need to include strategies for nursing home residents and address the needs of people experiencing houselessness as well.
Number three.
The Treasury Department says major passenger airlines have agreed in principle to a $25 billion rescue package, ensuring airline workers have jobs until October. Airlines are hopeful that U.S. passenger traffic, which has dropped 95%, will begin to recover by October, but have warned that the slowdown in air travel could extend into next year and even longer. Major carriers will receive 70% of the funds for payroll that will not need to be paid back, while smaller carriers receiving $100 million or less will not need to repay any funds. After making a brief comeback on school lunch menus, white bread and other refined grains may be vanishing again when schools reopen after a federal court threw out the Trump administration's rollback of school nutrition standards. The U.S. District Court in Maryland says the administration did not give adequate public notice of the change, which had gone into effect for this past school year. Well, Major League Baseball will participate in a large-scale COVID-19 antibody study in an effort to find out how many people may have had the coronavirus. The study will involve 10,000 volunteers from 27 of the league's 30 teams, including players, their families, team staff, and stadium workers. The study is not intended to track active infections, but rather to identify how many people have been exposed to COVID-19 and how many may not have known they had it. By finding out how many people have been exposed to the virus, public health officials can gain better insight as to how to reopen businesses.
Wow. All right. More information, the better, I guess.
Yes.
Thank you, Jen. Welcome to Wednesday. The IRS has started sending stimulus checks of up to $1,200 as part of an effort to get millions of Americans through the coronavirus outbreak. However, you should be ready to outsmart con artists eyeing up your money. Here's what to watch for from Andrew Keschner, reporter at MarketWatch. Andy, help us out.
Scammers may have a little bits of information about you, but they need just like they might know where you bank, and they might know your name, and they might know your telephone number, but they don't know your checking account number or those, you know, crucial three digits on the back of your debit card. So what they can do is they can call, posing as a member of your bank or your credit union or whatever financial institution, and they can say, hey, I'm here with your bank and I'm trying to process your stimulus check. We just need some extra information from you just to push it along and make sure you get your money. And that is a total scam. As one person from Visa told me, a bank or anyone will never do that because they already have your information on file. So they have no need to reach out to you. And I should add, Gordon, the same goes for the IRS. The IRS will never call you or email you saying, hi, Joe Jones, or hi, Gordon Deal. I need to make sure you get your stimulus money. You just need to give me some extra information.
We're speaking with Andy Keschner, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. He's written a very informative piece entitled, You Want Your Stimulus Check and So Do Scammers. And he's put together some red flags to watch for. You said, too, there's no need for click-throughs, right? So if you're getting an email, you're going to be very suspicious.
Yes. Yeah. So I had been talking about phone calls, but the same goes for emails. The same goes for text to your phone. The same goes for any sort of quote-unquote outreach via social media, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. They're not – no valid – you know, the IRS or the banks, no one's going to, no valid entity is going to reach out to you, you know, take that first step and reach out to you, whether that's email, text, phone, or social media. So all the same rules apply, and be very, very suspicious of links.
Very good. What else to keep in mind here?
There, for folks who don't have direct deposit on file, one of the ways that the IRS is going to get money to people, in fact, the checks are starting to roll out as we speak, is that they're going to use the direct deposit money, the direct deposit information that's already on file on a lot of tax returns. And this is the way it's going to go for a lot of people. But there are some people out there who never put any sort of direct deposit information on their returns. And unless the IRS gets some sort of direct deposit information, they're just going to mail them a paper check.
Thanks, Andy. Andy Keschner, reporter at MarketWatch. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Let's talk about finding freelance talent for your business or project. Sometimes a business needs to quickly pivot in order to meet a goal, or maybe an unexpected obstacle occurs, making it impossible to meet your deadline with the size of your current team. Where can you go to find on-demand talent? The answer is Fiverr. Whether you're launching your first business, scaling your current business, or in need of extra support to complete a project, Fiverr is here to connect you with freelancers who offer hundreds of digital services to help your business evolve, adapt, and grow. With Fiverr, finding quality talent for your project has never been easier. Review seller ratings, buyer feedback, and select the right freelancer based on your budget. Plus, you'll know exactly what you're paying for upfront, no negotiating needed. And when you give Fiverr a try, you'll save. Check out Fiverr.com today and use my code Gordon to receive 10% off your first order. It's so easy. Find the digital service you need in one place at Fiverr.com, code Gordon. Again, that's Fiverr.com, code Gordon. Try Fiverr today.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday, April 15. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. President Trump will stop funding the World Health Organization until his administration finishes looking into how the group handled the coronavirus. A new saliva test developed at Rutgers could dramatically alter the way the coronavirus is tested. Treasury Department says more than 80 million Americans will get stimulus checks today. Hank Steinbrenner, co-owner of the New York Yankees, has died at age 63. And the popular song played by hospitals for patients who've recovered from COVID-19. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, stocks surged as investors looked ahead to the eventual reopening of the economy, even as reports from big banks indicated that the coronavirus is taking a toll on earnings. J.P. Morgan Chase, for example, said yesterday that first quarter profit tumbled 69%. Nonetheless, the Dow was higher by 2.4%. The S&P rose 3.1%. The NASDAQ shot up 3.9%. Meanwhile, some stock investors are beginning to act like the worst is over. But those who rely on technical analysis say there is likely more pain ahead. Paul Vigna, who covers the markets for the Wall Street Journal, has been speaking with some technical analysts. Paul, set this up.
What I tried to do is just kind of talk to some folks who do what's called technical analysis of the markets. And this is, it's been around for forever, technical analysis. And it sounds kind of almost like voodoo or some kind of, you know, whatever. But really all it is it's trying to take the data that the market produces and analyze it in such a way that you get a sense of what investor behavior looks like. And from that, you can kind of project, you can try to project where it's going.
It's not perfect, I presume?
No, it's not. And it's kind of, it's interesting. I don't know if you watch the show, I don't know if you watch Westworld. There's this supercomputer that basically knows everything about everybody and projects the future with almost 100% accuracy. And they use it to, early on, they use it to predict the stock market and then determine where the stock market will go. Technical analysis is, it's kind of like that in that you're trying to take all the information, figure out where the market has been and where it's going based on that.
You spoke to this one guy who said he's crunched some data and has seen not a single positive indicator.
Yeah. So this is kind of interesting. The thing we're trying to get to is to get as well. We're to talk to people who who implement these tools. And there are a lot of them. That's the thing about this. There are a lot of different technical analysis tools. Some of them are very broad and almost crude. Some of them are very specific, very difficult to implement and use. And this guy had, he's a fund manager in Ohio, and he says he uses about 15 different indicators, has a trading program where he can plug them in, program them, and watch them and watch the whole thing play out. And they will, when one of them, any one of them, say, hits a certain level that he's looking for, it sends him a little alert. It pings him to the program and says, look, this level that you're looking for got hit on this indicator, got hit. And then he kind of takes that, you know, it's all information. So you take that information and you say, okay, what is this telling me about the market? Is this telling me that it's time to buy or sell? Well, what he had told us, and I talked to him about a week ago, and that's one thing to keep in mind too, is that these markets are moving so fast. At the time, he said none of his indicators were giving him anything that looked positive and telling him to buy.
Wow. We're speaking with Paul Vigna. He covers the markets for the Wall Street Journal. And he's written a piece entitled, How to Make Sense of This Crazy Market? Look to the Numbers. So some of the data these guys are getting now, is it indicating that the indexes are set to fall sharply again in the coming days, weeks, months? Or
I think, and again, these markets are moving extremely fast, they're very volatile. They're moving great distances up and down. And I think what they're showing mostly right now is that the market is in this kind of just volatile, nebulous state. I know that the S&P and the Dow and the NASDAQ are all up, I think it's more than 20% from their lows. But given how far they fell from their highs, and this is what everybody is trying to figure out right now. Is the move since March 23rd, which is when they hit their lows, is that move something fundamentally new? Is it a new uptrend? Or is it just a volatile move within a larger downtrend? That is really the question. I mean, what every person I talk to is trying to figure that out. And these technical analysts are trying to figure it out too. And I think in looking at the technicals, the best answer you can get right now, it's not a great answer, but the best answer you can get right now is that it's too soon to tell.
You referenced too in the story, these big daily moves are a hallmark of stressed and bear markets.
Yes, and that's kind of an important thing to remember. If you look, and you'll get these, you know, the Dow will be up 7% and they'll say, oh, it's a, you know, the third best one day gain ever, or whatever the numbers are, right? And they'll tell you what the other great, you know, I'm using air quotes, you can't see them, Gordon, but I'm using them, what the other great days were, and they were all during massive market sell-offs.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul. Paul Vigna covers the markets for the Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Being stuck at home these days, you probably don't think much about internet privacy on your own home network. Just fire up incognito mode on your browser and no one can see what you're doing, right? Wrong. Even in incognito mode, your online activity can still be traced. Even if you clear your browsing history, your internet service provider can still see every single website you've ever visited. That's why, even when I'm at home, I never go online without using ExpressVPN. With ExpressVPN, your internet connection is anonymized and can't be traced. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your data with best-in-class encryption, so your info is always protected. ExpressVPN has you covered on every device, too. Simply tap one button and you're protected. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET, Wired, The Verge, and countless more. So protect your online activity today with the VPN that I trust. Visit my special link at expressvpn.com/Gordon, and you can get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Gordon. expressvpn.com/Gordon to learn more. Welcome into Wednesday. It's time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know millions of Americans have been checking their bank accounts, awaiting stimulus checks from the government. But one Indiana man must have thought he won the government lottery after an eye-popping amount of money wound up temporarily, making him very rich. According to the Daily Mail, Charles Calvin went to take $200 out of his account over the weekend. And when he saw the remaining balance on his receipt, he found out that $8.2 million had deposited into his checking account instead of the $1,700 he'd been expecting to cover himself and his child. At first, he thought the machine had thrown up some sort of error, so he ran his card again, but the same exact amount was shown. Unfortunately, Calvin's time as a millionaire was short-lived. On Monday, he called the bank and was told the money was no longer in his account, though the $1,700 stimulus money was. As you can imagine, Calvin, who was a volunteer firefighter in New Chicago, Indiana, was disappointed that he so quickly went back to being broke again, but he did try to put a positive spin on things, saying that he has nowhere to go but up.
Man, could you imagine? That is unbelievable.
Can you imagine that, your heart racing? Imagine the feeling you must have when you see that on your receipt, and you start sweating and all kinds of crazy things.
That's crazy. You wonder how many mistakes like that are actually made by the government that go unreported. You know, Mike, watching Ozark on Netflix made me somewhat of a money laundering expert. So I am aware that even if Mr. Calvin were to try to cash that $8 million on the spot, it is unlikely that the bank had $8 million in currency available. Huh? How about that? How about that fact, right?
Yes. Yep. One of the many lessons we're learning from Ozark.
What else you got?
And the struggle is real, Gordon, to get dressed for work. With millions working from home, Casual Friday has turned into pajamas every day for many people, forcing one Florida judge to take action, issuing a letter to lawyers in his district reminding them to get out of bed and put on shirts before teleconferencing into online hearings. Judge Dennis Bailey of Broward Circuit Court said in a letter that conducting hearings outside of court is no excuse for letting decorum fall by the wayside, writing that, quote, "We've seen many lawyers in casual shirts and blouses with no concern for ill grooming, in bedrooms with a master bed in the background, etc. One male lawyer appeared shirtless, and one female attorney appeared still in bed, still under the covers."
Jeez.
He's also not a fan of lawyers putting on a beach cover-up to hide the fact that they were lounging poolside just before clicking on the Zoom link.
My goodness, this is like reviewing like etiquette for a job interview for kids who are in high school or something.
Yes, we shouldn't have to tell adults to get dressed for work. We have our own Zoom meeting for our company coming up this week. I'm looking forward to seeing how everybody is dressed and what sort of backgrounds everybody has going on.
One thing we noticed at our last video conference company meeting was women wearing hats, and that's to cover up the fact that they were unable to get the hair coloring that they normally get.
Yes, everybody wearing hats. A lot more hats than usual.
I like the judge's reference to ill grooming. Thanks, Mike.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. A Feeding America survey of its food banks found more than 98% have seen a surge in demand, with 59% reporting a decrease in inventory. As food banks struggle to feed as many people as possible, they are now feeling the ripple effects of the panic buying that cleaned grocery stores out over the past few weeks. Fox News put together ways we can help. Kyle Wade, president of the Atlanta Community Food Bank, said that with fears of individual donations being contaminated, the most useful thing your local food bank could use right now is money. He says they can turn the dollar you spend on a can of food into about 9 cans of food and really make it go farther. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Kashenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The CDC and FEMA have drafted a back-to-work strategy for the nation. According to the Washington Post, the plan has 3 phases. One is readying the country through a communication campaign and community readiness assessment until May 1st. In the second phase, manufacturing of testing kits and protective equipment would be stepped up and emergency funding increased. In the third, staged reopenings would start in May, depending on conditions locally. Schools, daycares, and other facilities that care for children would be the first priority.
Number two.
The Secretary General of the UN says now is not the time for the U.S. to withhold financial support from the World Health Organization. President Trump says he's cutting off payments to the WHO because, in his view, the organization failed to do enough to stop the coronavirus from spreading after it first surfaced in China.
Maybe WHO will reform, and maybe they won't.
Trump says the U.S. will review the organization's actions before deciding whether to resume aid.
Number three.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has issued a stark warning for Americans to ignore the lies and insist on the truth as the U.S. assesses next steps in the crisis. Pelosi released a letter yesterday with a scathing outline of President Trump's handling of the outbreak. Former President Obama has endorsed Joe Biden, his former vice president, in a video that marks his return to the political stage.
We need Americans of goodwill to unite in a great awakening against a politics that too often has been characterized by corruption, carelessness, self-dealing, disinformation, ignorance, and just plain meanness.
Obama praised Biden as an experienced leader who has all the qualities we need in a president right now. It was 1 year ago today that the Notre Dame Cathedral was gutted by a devastating fire that toppled its famous spire. Restoration work on the landmark from the 12th and 13th centuries has been halted and the workers sent home because of France's coronavirus lockdown. Officials expect work to continue into 2024. Today may be the strangest tax day ever. While April 15th is typically the tax filing deadline, this year we're getting a reprieve, but a new Harris poll finds that only 43% of taxpayers are taking advantage of the filing extension to July 15th, while the rest plan to file by today.
All right. I'm in that 43%. I haven't filed yet.
You did not?
Uh-uh.
Oh, I did.
Sitting on it.
Really?
Just sitting on it.
All right.
Well, I owe a little bit, so.
Oh.
Not so eager to part with the money.
Okay. Got it.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. Doctors and nurses at two hospitals in New York and Michigan are discharging patients who recovered from the coronavirus to the sounds of the popular song, Don't Stop Believin', that you just heard. In a video taken by the New York Presbyterian Queens Hospital, healthcare workers are seen cheering and dancing to the 1981 song by Journey as they surround two patients in wheelchairs who recently beat the virus. The song is also being echoed through the halls at Henry Ford Hospital in Detroit, where the Detroit News says more than 900 Henry Ford Health System employees have tested positive for COVID-19. Steve Perry, the former lead singer of the iconic band, acknowledged the hospital's video on Twitter as word grew about the use of his song for those who beat COVID-19. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.